looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change, wishing you could keep the faith, longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Just a small town girl, living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere.
Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train.
Welcome, Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan, rocking out on a Monday afternoon. Amen. Barb, excellent song choice.
As always.
And of course, we are going to do the original
version.
We're going to take a little journey
a
little while.
You know me. I'm always going to have the updated and the old school version.
And that's what I love about you, because I have never heard that updated version, I'm going to have to download that
sucker.
That's
from Glee.
No way.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's a great song.
It's a great tune. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's a great tune. Hi everybody. Hope you had a great week. Hope y'all are a little sleep deprived since we had to switch the time zone thing. I'm telling you, when are they going to do away with that? Do you think that we ever will here? Get rid of the whole daylight savings time thing?
Oh, I hope so.
It's so confusing.
It's okay in the fall time when we get to fall back.
That's true.
It's only jumping forward I have issues with.
And then I usually go for like at least a week and a half with, you know, half the clocks in my house 1 hour and half in the other. And then I never know what time it is. So here we go.
Agreed.
All righty. So we are going to have some fun today. We're going to open the phone lines. If you do have any questions for me, please feel free to call. That number's 877-230-3062. Again, 877-230-3062. We will be taking questions here in a little bit. But of course, your favorite show host needs to pontificate for a little while. And we are going to be talking about belief systems today. So, first want to just give a little shout out to some of my favorite clients who've been participating in my prayer workshop. Angie, Sandy, and Liz, and Deanna, and Sammy, and Becky. Amazing experience with you ladies in the last couple of weeks. Wow. The prayer workshop's just a ton of fun, really powerful, love teaching it, and it's just been amazing with these women. So anyway, I'm going to actually be running that again coming up here really soon. You can jump on my website, Michelle Morgan, Michelle with one L, morgan.org, and get information on upcoming classes and events, and also I will be putting that on my Facebook fan page when that comes up. We've had some great discussions going on the Facebook. I'm going to be putting a new one up today. So would love to have you participate in that. And also, I got a great tip or request from a listener last week about putting the prayers that I give listeners when I give people prayers, putting that somewhere. So that's on the Facebook fan page as well.
Oh, that's if you, fantastic.
I know, isn't that a great idea?
Yeah, that and the affirmations. I love.
I know. They're so good. Mm-hmm. And God love her. She sent me an email and said that I talk fast and she's a slow writer. So, and it's so true. So Motormouth Michelle here. So I will be posting those, the prayers and affirmations that I give out on the show on the fan page, and it's the boxes. There's a little tab at the top of the thing that says boxes, and you go to that, and they'll be on there. So anyway, that's all the business end of things. Oh, just to make it easy for you to get on the Facebook fan page, you can hop on my website and click on the links box, and it'll take you straight in. So, all right, let's talk about belief systems. I am going to be using Barb Perry today, my lovely producer and music maestro. And she's in the hot seat, basically, today, because we're going to be talking about belief systems. And if I'm not mistaken, Barb, you got a big old Mondo belief system.
I just do have a
bouncing
huge,
up and down in your
it's,
brain
yes,
right now.
It needs to be broken down, for sure.
It needs to be exorcised. Well, just don't, if your head starts spinning around, just, give me a heads up on
please,
that.
Please, Linda Blair me.
Linda Blair you. All right, so let's talk about belief systems. What the heck is a belief system? A belief system itself, the word system, is defined as a regularly interacting or independent group of items forming a unified whole. There's a little Webster for you. Here's what belief systems are. They're the laws we live by. They're programmed ideas about cause and effect, about ourselves and the world around us, that are handed down through our cultural and familial influences, and they are literally rooted physically in the brain and in the psyche between birth and 7 years of age. Isn't that amazing? So, and actually, I'm going to break that down a little bit. Belief systems are rooted in the brain between birth and 2 years of age, and identity issues, which have a little bit of an extra kick to them, because they've got a personal connotation. I'll explain that here in a minute. Those start to kick in between 2 and 7. But the bottom line, first 7 years of your life, you are getting the lens that you see the world through and the lens that you see yourself in the world through. And unless you change that lens at some point, guess what? When you're wearing glasses or contacts and you look at a piece of paper in front of you and then you look up at the clock, you're not seeing those two things from different lenses. You're seeing everything through the same filter. So, and in addition, we come into any given lifetime with karmic or past life beliefs. And they're actually carried in a real similar fashion in the psyche. But they also have the added cloud of sometimes centuries old disposition. So now here's how belief systems are carried in the brain. Neuropathways. A neuropathway is a cluster of neurons grouped together in the brain that literally record the meaning of different experiences, through emotional and physical responses, environmental variables, etc. And there are hundreds of precise chemicals in the brain called information substances. And those chemicals connect the neurons in each group as an electrical path. And the pathways form a literally uncompromising physiological network that contains and supports those belief systems in the psyche. Now, once a pathway's been set, anytime a similar circumstance or situation arises, that exact same chemical cocktail is released in the brain, and the pathway fires in the exact manner that it did at its genesis. So here's a translation, because that sounded so damn scientific, didn't it? Yeah, really? Let's break this down and talk about it in, like, I don't know, human terms. Well, you can tell yourself, 10 ways to Sunday that you're not going to feel like a humiliated 5-year-old the next time your boss talks to you in that tone during a staff meeting. However, if you had an overly critical parent who made you feel worthless, maybe even told you you were worthless and spoke to you in that tone when you were a little kid, you got neuropathways that were formed that are programmed to that exact tone from that overly critical parent. And the belief system that is supported by that neuropathway is that you're worthless, that you aren't, that you're worthless and you can't do anything right, et cetera, whatever those ideas were that were given to you by that overly critical parent. So the minute you hear that tone in your boss, who does represent a parental or authority figure, then that chemical cocktail fires, that pathway shoots off, and you're going to have the identical internal emotional reaction that 5-year-old had. And that's every time. There is literally no exception to that rule. Now, that can be really subtle, can be super subtle, and it can be profusely obvious. You can, you know, start sweating. You can get all nervous and turn red. You can have a emotional reaction. You can get belligerent, scared, whatever. It can run the gamut. But every single time, that emotional pathway is going to fire off. So I got some good news and some bad news for you. I'm going to give you the bad news first. Ready? We can only create a reality that corresponds to our belief systems. We can only create a reality that corresponds to our belief systems. That is the law of attraction at its absolute base. And here's why. The human psyche is wired for survival. And the only true safety, accordingly, is what is known or familiar. In a more, I don't know, cut and dried way, I guess, the human animal needs to be right. In order to feel safe, we need to understand and know what is coming and what's going on around us. So our reality morphs automatically to oblige the programmed ideas that we have about it. And we will literally materialize whatever is necessary to prove the validity of worthlessness or loss or mistrust or whatever else is hidden in the recesses of those unconscious beliefs. So in other words, working for a tyrannical boss is not a fluke for somebody that grew up with a very critical parent. Now, is that going to happen every time? Are you always going to, you know, create a rotten work environment if you grew up in a critical family? No, not necessarily. But you will absolutely manifest those same types of criticisms that will make you feel that worthless in some aspect of your life. And usually it's in every aspect of your life. It just sometimes is more overt in others. So you want the good news? Here's the good news. Ready?
What's the good news?
Good news is we can only create a reality that corresponds to our belief systems.
Now, my belief system tells me I'm supposed to be a multimillionaire.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that belief system. But did you notice that the good news and the bad news are the identical statement?
Well, usually it is, though, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The blessing and the curse.
There we go.
So here's the blessing. Yeah. You are that powerful. You are, in fact, manifesting your reality. You are absolutely creating an external physical reality from everything that you hold as a belief in your unconscious mind. And the really cool thing about that is you only have to look at your current reality to know what those unconscious belief systems are. So I'm going to talk about what you just said, Barb, that your belief system is that you're supposed to be a millionaire. Well, are you a millionaire right now?
Not even close.
Well, what the heck's wrong with you? Would you like to know?
I'd like to know why
Okay. Here's why. Okay. There's actually two kinds of beliefs. There's conscious beliefs and there's unconscious beliefs.
Okay.
And unconscious beliefs are the systems. Unconscious beliefs are those structures in the mind. Our conscious beliefs are the thoughts. They're the intellectual process. They're the part of us that say, I'm going to believe that I am going to be a millionaire. And that's that whole new age law of attraction, how to work with that, which is great. Don't get me wrong. Ask, believe, and receive. Oh my God, it's such a powerful formula. So why doesn't it work for everybody? And why does it usually only work for a period of time and then it starts to not work? Okay.
Uh-huh.
That is because your unconscious belief systems raise up and say, oh, excuse me, no, you don't deserve to be a millionaire because A, B, and C idea was imprinted in your psyche when you were a kid. And you won't even necessarily know what A, B, and C is.
So I think mine is more because my parents were such hard workers that you have to work an extreme amount of time to just to receive that.
Okay. So if
nobody gets it for free.
Right. So if you were a multimillionaire right now, would you have to work really hard?
Most of the ones, you know, have a system that...
No, but answer my question. If you had $1 billion right now, would you be working really, 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 really hard every day? Come on, answer that.
Oh, no.
Heck no.
No.
Right, okay. So the belief system says you have to work really, 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 really hard. That's
correct.
Your belief system.
Yes.
So you're not going to manifest $1 billion right now while you believe that you have to work really hard. Because if you got $1 million, you wouldn't have to work hard. That doesn't make sense to the belief system. You get it?
I do get it.
Okay.
So give me an example.
Give you an example of what?
Of that, like, either in an affirmation form or something. I mean, something that's tangible.
Give
me
the magic bullet.
Give me the magic bullet that I can work with.
Well, here is a maybe not such a good piece of news. There is no magic bullet. You have to do a lot. You have to work at this stuff. I mean, you have to do an actual modality like an NLP based therapy to truly change the belief systems. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit about the difference between habits and patterns, okay? Because you can change some belief systems of your own accord. You know idea that you can change a pattern or you can change a habit in 21 days by just doing something new, okay? Mm-hmm. You're actually, in 21 days, you can actually create a new neural pathway in the brain, that little cluster of neurons. You can actually create a new one. The brain is constantly shifting physiologically. It's called neuroplasticity. The brain is capable of rerouting itself physically, and those neurons will actually move between the hemispheres of the brain. It's amazing. So you can actually create a new neural pathway in the brain by doing something habitually, a behavior habitually for 21 days. The problem is habits are a subsystem of a pattern. Okay, and we're going to talk about that specifically when we come back from break. So when you're changing that neural pathway of your own accord through a behavioral shift, all you're doing is creating a new neural pathway. You're not unplugging the old one.
Correct. You're just changing the direction.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So the problem with that is the brain is eventually going to choose the old one because that's the one that's been around for, you know, however many years versus 21 days. The unconscious belief systems are your structure. Okay. In the brain. Conscious beliefs we add on. So the key is, if you really want to have the power tool of the law of attraction at your fingertips, you have to get your unconscious belief systems in line with your conscious beliefs. And that requires some help. So we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're either going to go to the phone lines if we've got somebody, or we're going to chit-chat a little bit more about this stuff, and we're just going to keep on partying on. So I'm Michelle Morgan. This is Living on a Prayer. Come on back. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling. Street light people. Don't stop believing. Hold on. Street light people. Don't stop believing. Hold on to that feeling.
Dissatisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense 4-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
If you've got a question for Michelle, give us a call here at 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062.
Action is made.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Jones. wasn't he the cutest thing in the world?
He was
so
adorable.
Cute.
And I'm sure he was like 5'3", too.
Oh, probably. And who knows? He might have had the Napoleon complex, but it didn't matter
because he was so adorable. You're right.
Completely cute. Yes, that did bring me back to Saturday morning. Thank you, Barb. Along with, do you remember the banana splits?
I just watched the banana splits the other day with my nephew.
You did not.
Danger Island. And
oh,
it was Jan.
Yes.
Is it Jan Michael Vincent? Was that who his name was?
No. On Danger Island?
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
It is Jan Michael.
And Michael Vincent. Oh my God. I'm just flashing back here, folks. I'm not kidding you.
Great.
Barb does this thing to me, and then it like takes me 3 days to recover and come back to the current reality. I'm telling you what. Yeah, the banana splits.
I love
Snorky was my favorite. He was so cute.
Yes. I love the Tarara Boom Die girls. That's all they did. They opened the door and said Tarara Boom Die. It was awesome.
Oh my goodness.
So hey, we've got somebody on the line.
Groovy, let's talk to her.
We're gonna talk to Yvonne from Washington.
Yvonne. Are you there? Hi babe, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. So what's going on, girl?
Well, my boyfriend and I were planning on getting married this year, but he's been struggling with an addiction problem.
Oh wow. Okay.
And I've just been really scared, I guess.
Oh, sweetie, absolutely. And you're scared. Tell me what the fear is. Where are you going with that?
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. Are you kidding me? This is hard stuff. This is really
that
hard.
He won't be able to stop.
Yeah, that he won't be able to kick it. You bet.
And I'll have to go.
And you'll have to do what, honey?
You know, we won't get married or whatever.
Right, right. So what's he doing to, quote unquote, deal with the addiction? Anything?
He tried to stop after like 7 months, and he stopped for like 2 months, and then he started again for a week, and then he again for about, you know, it's been about a week or two.
Right. Your phone's cutting out a little bit, darling. Are you on a cell phone?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I keep wanting to do that. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Thanks. So make sure you talk right into the mouthpiece so that we can hear you real good. So the bottom line is right now he's just stopping using. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So here's the challenge with that. The drug that an addict uses is just the tip of the iceberg. To truly recover, the addict must deal with all four levels of being, mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. You can't just stop the use. Now, that's important because I'll tell you what, one of the challenges that sets drug and alcohol addiction apart from, say, sexual addiction or gambling is that the substances will literally kill you. They're poison in the body. So there's that added physiological piece. Now, you know, we can definitely talk about there's a physiological component to the sex thing and the gambling thing. But what I'm getting at is the actual chemicalization in the brain. So just stopping the use isn't going to shift this. And, you know, and this is interesting because this is exactly what we're talking about on the show today, the patterns versus habits. Addicts will traditionally, they'll trade one drug for the other. They'll try to change it habitually. They'll either try and stop the use or they'll just trade hard liquor for beer or, you know, something for pot or whatever, okay? And the problem with that is you have to heal the underlying emotional issues that created the addiction in the first place. No one's born an addict unless you are birthed by a crack addict or something and you actually have it in your bloodstream. But again, at that point, if a baby's born addicted, it is a physiological issue, okay? And they're going to have some emotional consequences on down the line if they don't get help. But that aside, most addicts don't come into the world an addict, okay? They come into the world with belief systems, and they get those belief systems programmed in their families. I'm going to guarantee you, looking at this, that he comes from addiction. Is that true? In his family, there was addiction?
I don't know. Not really his parents.
Okay.
But he was raised around, I guess, where there's a lot of addiction.
Okay. All right. Well, and here's the other interesting thing about chemical addiction. You can have absolute teetotalers for 20 generations, complete sobriety for 20 generations. And you, 21 generations back, you've got a gutter drunk. And all of the emotional patterns, this is exactly what we're talking about today. The emotional patterns and the belief systems get handed down. The ism, whatever the drug is, that's just a manifestation of the emotional pattern. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's going to, your boyfriend, God bless him, he's going to need to get some help. Nobody quits. Nobody recovers truly without help. It's not possible. There are books out there that'll tell you you can, and I'll tell you flat out you can't. And that doesn't mean that you have to, you know, that you have to get into the 12-step programs for the rest of your life and all that stuff. Now, the 12-step programs are phenomenal, and they will help tremendously, if for nothing else than to help educate, to allow the addict to know they're not alone, that there's a very huge demographic of people that share their same experience, and will help tap them into the God piece. But there has to be a very systematic approach to true recovery, which 100% requires cutting out the alcohol and the drugs completely, not just trading, cutting out all addiction chemically, getting the emotional help necessary in some form of therapy, doing spiritual work to connect to God, and then changing belief systems. That's all four levels of being. That's going to have to happen. And it's a hell of a road. It's a long road. But I'll tell you what, it's also really powerful, and I've seen couples go through it together. It's pretty amazing. So here's what I'm gonna talk a little bit more, sweetheart, about this pattern stuff, and then I'm going to actually take a look at psychically at what's coming for you. How's that sound?
Okay.
You doing okay?
Yeah.
All right. And I really appreciate you calling in on this. This is a huge issue. This is a huge issue. Sweetheart, I can't tell you how many people I deal with on a weekly basis that this is their life right now, you know? The addiction thing is huge in our culture. It's absolutely huge. So
I didn't understand how, it made sense to me when you were talking about how, like, something you've experienced, even though it's not the same thing, but when it's like
when it fires off again, you're
it fires
similar,
off.
You bet.
Right, and that just happens over and over and over to me because I'm so fear. You know, it's all fear based.
You bet. So I want to talk for a second about what's true for you. What's true for you in your belief systems that put you into a relationship with a man who is a chemical addict?
Yeah.
What did you grow up with?
Well, my dad wasn't really there because he was in drugs, but he didn't really take them. But okay. He was in that realm.
He's in the culture. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So your daddy was connected to the drug culture, and he also was absent emotionally and otherwise, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What was going on with your mom?
She was there, but she was kind of in a relationship, not a good one for a long time.
Okay. All right. And did your mama try to kind of hold everything together?
She tried, yeah.
Yeah, you bet. So here's what you got modeled, sweetie. You got modeled a masculine, and we're going to talk polarity stuff again. And those of you who've been listening to the show, you're going to understand this. The polarity issue that you grew up with was you grew up with a masculine component that was not a hero. Okay, he was not a protector, and he was not a provider, not in the realm of true polarity, and so you grew up with a model of a man who was not there for you. Is that a fair statement?
Pretty much.
Okay. And as a feminine being, if you can't trust the masculine to be the hero, if you can't truly trust him to be there for you, then you got trust issues coming all the way from childhood. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that alone, darling, just that alone is going to set you up to be in relationship with a man who's either abusive, emotionally unavailable at best, or an addict, because all three of those scenarios is going to support the idea that you cannot trust the masculine. You're going to create a reality that supports the idea that you cannot trust the masculine component in your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's how powerful you are, girlfriend. So honest to God, there's a blessing and a curse in all of this. I want you to grab onto that, okay? And then also, you were modeled your mom in relationships that were not healthy for her, with men she couldn't trust, who were not there for her, and she also had to hold everything together. Well, those of us, and I put myself in this camp as well, because I've walked this road too, those of us who get into relationship with addicts, we have a belief system that says we have to hold everything together. We got to control everything, all right? And there's, and believe me, kiddo, there is no better place to have to practice control than in a relationship with someone who's out of control. And an addict is out of control. The only thing that you can rely on with an addict is that you can't rely on them.
Right.
And the only thing that is constant with an addict is that they are inconstant. And that they change all the time. And you cannot, you never know from one minute to the next what you're stepping into. Is that fair?
That's fair.
You bet. And it's, oh, honey, it's so scary, isn't it? It's so scary. So here's what I want to tell you, baby. Here's what's up for you. And this is really amazing. I mean, it's seriously amazing. And I'm not just blowing smoke here. Okay. You came up first. First card out of the deck, flew out of the deck, is the High Priestess. She is the most powerful woman in the deck. Okay. So I want you to get a grip on the fact that you are that powerful. And this is not about saying, you know, it's your fault that you're in this relationship and you caused it. No way. But you did manifest it. So own that.
Okay.
Taking personal responsibility is not about blame. It's just about going, wow, hallelujah, I'm super powerful. Now, what do I need to heal in me so I can start to manifest the things I really deserve? Because I'll tell you what, darling, you don't deserve to be with a man who can't be there for you. And your boyfriend, he's a great guy. In fact, he's a really great guy. He's really passionate and he's very sensitive. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Yeah. Which is one of the reasons why he's drugging himself, because he doesn't have a frame of reference for how to be in the world with that. He had a tremendously, there's a vicious energy in his life, in his childhood. Does that make sense to you? Was it abusive for him?
His father beat him a lot.
Okay. Wow. Vicious, like rage, like really terrifying anger. I'm seeing him when he was really little hiding. Yeah. Hiding in either in a closet or behind a couch or something. I mean, this is just heartbreaking to me.
Yeah.
And so, oh my God, here's this man, this hero walking in the world who has no concept of his own heroic nature. And this fear stuff is raising up in him. You better believe he's going to reach for a drug to calm that down, because he can't handle it right now. So here's what's up for you. You need to get some support for you. I want you to seek out some help to deal with your piece of the puzzle. All right. Now, you are not at all responsible for your boyfriend's addiction. You are 100% responsible for your 50% of this relationship, for the part that you're playing. And you're 100% responsible, sugar, for your life, right?
Right.
So here's what I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you to break up with your boyfriend today. I'm not going to tell you that. Now, I'm also not going to tell you marry the guy. I'm going to tell you to get some help. And I'm going to tell you that you have a right to ask your boyfriend to get help. Invite him to be the hero. Invite him to get help. And if he does not, that's information that you need to have about him. Okay. Right. Is he violent?
No.
Okay.
I mean, he can act that way, but
He has not been that way with you yet?
In some of his addiction days, but nothing crazy, you know?
Okay. All right. I need you to the mouthpiece on your phone, darling. You're fading out on me again. So here's what I want to warn you about. Okay. And believe me, you got to trust me on this one. If I was seeing real danger, I would tell you flat out, get the hell out of there.
Okay.
But I am flagging this. I am giving you a yellow flag moving to orange. Okay. We're not at a red flag yet, but we are definitely at a yellow to orange flag. Here's the thing you got to understand. You cannot trust an addict. They are unpredictable. They are predictable in their unpredictability, okay? And behaviors with an addict will always escalate. They will never get smaller. They will always escalate. They'll go through phases where they seem to subside, all right? That's a pattern. That's actually the psychology of addiction and the psychology of abuse. There's a pattern of an escalated behavior, a lot of remorse, and then really, really good behavior for a little while to try to make up for that because of the guilt. And then boom, they stuff it all down, they explode, and then they feel guilt, and then they do all these things. So do you recognize that pattern here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to warn you about that, kiddo. I am not exaggerating. And I just had a client this last week. I warned her 2 weeks ago that she needed to get out of her relationship with the man she was living with because he was absolutely dangerous. And he actually took his own life last week and threatened to take hers. So it was really scary. So I got to tell you, I'm warning you on this one. And I don't want to sound dramatic. Again, I'm not trying to add fear to what you're already feeling. I just want you to be really, really clear. Part of your process, baby, just as an addict lives in denial, that's a tremendous call sign of the addict. So do us who get into relationships with addicts. We have to be in denial. That's the only way that we can survive that relationship. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, you're going to make the best out of the situation. You're going to tell yourself it's not that big of a deal when they blow up, and then they come back around again, and they're remorseful, and they're contrite. You absolutely convince yourself that, well, maybe they're changing this time. And that's natural. That's natural in the process of being the codependent. I hate that word, but that's the word, the enabler. And it's also natural for the feminine. That's the feminine heart opening. She's opening, and she's trusting her man. And then you're going to get your heart broken here, kiddo. And I'm hoping that that's the worst it ever gets for you. I really want to emphasize the fact that your boyfriend's capable of physically hurting you. He really is. I'm just going to be flat out honest with you. He's capable of physically hurting you. And the other thing that I want you to add to this is that the energy on the planet is incredibly heightened right now. As we're all seeing, things that we never imagined would happen are happening. And so people's behaviors are grossly exaggerated right now, and that adds to it. Okay, that's like a Molotov cocktail on the bonfire. So I really want you to get some help, sweetheart, because you're really powerful. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking at the next six to actually probably about 7 or 8 months coming into like November of this coming year. The potential, and this is just potential, I'm giving you the blueprint, baby. You got to build the house or not, okay? The potential is for you to get help and to shift a whole lot of things for you, which is going to give you clarity about this man that you're with, okay? And it's also going to hold the space for him to get some help. Now, you're not responsible for him getting help, but you do have a right to ask him to do that for you. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. And the first place you're going to go is that you got to make him get better. Right? You cannot. You cannot. And you'll kill yourself energetically trying. Okay?
I feel like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So he's got to get the help. So here's what I want you to do. Here's a prayer for you. You ready? Two different prayers. The first one is you say his name and you say, I bless you and I release you in peace. Mm-hmm. Okay? Short, sweet, very powerful. I bless you and I release you in peace. What you bless has to bless you back. And what you release in peace, you're cutting the energy cords that are entangling you to this so that God can get in there and work his magic for you. Okay? So bless him and release him in peace 15 times in a row, out loud, preferably at least a couple times a day. 15 is the number to break through hard conditions. Very, very, very powerful. And then here's another prayer. I want you to put him in God's hands. Okay? I want you to seriously put him in God's hands. And that prayer is, I place you and all your affairs lovingly in the hands of God. That which is for your highest good now comes to you.
Can you repeat that?
Yep. I place you in all your affairs lovingly in the hands of God. That which is for your highest good now comes to you. And I will be posting these on the Facebook page so you can get to them too. And I got one more prayer that I want you to say. And this one's for you. Okay. No, I do not accept this appearance. My life cannot be limited. I let go and let God guide me into my new good, which is my true good now. I'm going to repeat that one too. No, I do not accept this appearance. My life cannot be limited. I let go and let God guide me into my new good, which is my true good now. And I will post that one. Here's why I want you to say that one. Guess what? Guess what one of your PowerPoints is right now?
What?
Denial. This is a prayer. This is a prayer of denial. Okay? Denial. There's a blessing and a curse in everything. Denial is second only to prayer in the power it has to literally rearrange the molecular structure of reality. okay, as you can see, being with an addict. It's incredible what denial will do. So here's the blessing of denial. You can use it to literally claim that you will no longer participate in this kind of pattern in your life. And if you say, I now let go and let God guide me into my new good, then God's going to guide you specifically to get the kind of help that you need, to get the kind of clarity that you need, and to get the kind of strength that you need to create the life that you deserve. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, baby. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to call me back in a few weeks and let me know how you're doing. Or email me or do something. I want to hear from you, though, in a few weeks. I want to hear how things are going, okay?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. And I'm sending you just a legion of angels on this one. And I really want to thank you for being brave enough to call and share this today.
Thank you.
You bet, sweetheart. Take care, okay? All right. We are going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and Barb's in the hot seat. We'll be right back. I'm a believer, I couldn't leave her if I tried. I thought love was more or less a given thing. It seems the more I gave, the less I got. What's the use in trying? All you get is pain. When I needed sunshine, I got rain.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true, you can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest, you can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show, for the host and for others.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Sammy Hagar. Nice choice, Barbara. Nice choice. We're back. Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. I want to just, again, thank Yvonne for calling, and I want every single listener out there right now to send her about 2,000 angels. There you go, kiddo. Legions. I promised them. So we are talking about patterns. We're talking about habits. We're talking about, you know, belief systems. How do you manifest? How do you create your world out of those unconscious belief systems? And it's complicated. You know, talking about it makes it sound in some ways relatively simple. It is not. Because the other piece we haven't talked about, which we are going to do an entire show on, is family legacy. And that is belief systems handed down generationally from your maternal and paternal family lines, and how those get all twisted up, and how they can be expressed, and how we can actually uphold those family legacies without even realizing it. So that's another layer of the belief system thing. So this is complicated stuff. We are complicated creatures as human beings, and none more complicated than my gorgeous producer, Ms. Barbara Perry. Hello, Barbara.
Hello there.
Okay, now we're taking you out of the producer seat, and we're making
me a victim.
We're making you a victim. So talk to me, Sugar Bear.
So I met a nice guy.
I know you did. Oh, Jen. People, let me tell you, she talked to me about this before the show. She's dumbing it down big time here. This girl's eyeballs were popping out of her head when she was talking about this dude. Okay, so you met this really, really great guy. You're super attracted to him.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is kind of a hard thing for me to find.
Yeah, no, I know it is. You have...
Because I have the smell thing, too.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds crazy, and the listeners are probably going, what is she talking about?
No, Barbara has her
my psychic is messed. is with my smell.
She has olfactory intuition.
Yes.
Yeah, not very many people do, but it is. It's an actual.
It is.
Absolutely. So yeah, yours is just very, very heightened.
Yes, very much.
Okay. So this dude smells good too.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a perk. That's a big time perk. So So what are you freaking out about, Sugar?
I guess I hadn't heard back, and I know it's been like 20 hours or whatever.
she has not heard back.
I'm a
in
Sag.
20 hours. You are a Sag. No, but you're also a woman.
Yes.
So we're going to talk a little bit about polarity here.
Okay.
So, and again, I have added information because Barb and I talked chatted at length beforehand.
Yes.
So here's the scoop. You're having a completely polaritudinal response to this dude, okay?
Yes.
You're tapping into the masculine in him. He's bringing it. And
yes,
you're fully in your feminine, which, sweet girl, I'm saying this with all the love in my heart, that's not a familiar place for you. You do like to be in the power seat. In relationship, you do like to be in body armor with a very shiny sword in one hand.
Yes.
Correct? Okay.
Call me Michaelina. And I do.
Actually, Michelle is the feminine Michael. So,
and that's the funny part is halfway through, I couldn't speak anymore.
Yeah.
And I even told him, I'm like, I'm a little bit speechless because I usually have a witty comeback.
Exactly. Which is fabulous and wonderful and part of your personality, but can also be used, like everything has the blessing and the curse, can also be used as a defense mechanism to keep someone at arm's length. So what you're experiencing is you don't have those defense mechanisms right now. You have found yourself in your feminine because you've drawn a man to you who's very in his masculine right now.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so here's the thing to remember, everybody listening. This is not about finding or being 100% in your core. It's not possible. It's about at least an 80-20 split.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so bottom line, at the beginning of relationship, pretty much we're always in the best of our best at the beginning. That's part of the mating ritual, and it's very instinctual.
Yes.
So obviously you're responding to it. And you're also, honey, I can also guarantee you that you're responding to his because it's genuine in him. He's not just putting it on. It really is how he walks in the world.
Yeah, because I just got heebie-jeebies.
I know, and you should see her, folks. I'm serious, man. She is so beautiful anyway, but it's like she's glowing. Her eyes are sparkling. There's these little fairy dust pixie things flying off her head. Yeah, she's having a good time over here. So the reason that you're scared is because this is different than the pattern you're used to. You're used to drawing men to you who, and let's just put the smell thing aside.
Yes.
You're used to drawing men to you who you can feel superior to energetically. You can be in control of energetically. Okay. Is that a fair statement?
Totally fair.
Yeah. And so what happens with that is you have been drawing to you the men who are not fully in their masculine. They're attracted to you. They're drawn to your masculine. They're totally drawn to your masculine. Remember, we're going to be drawn to our reciprocal. We're going to be drawn to the opposite.
Correct.
Okay? So when a woman is fully in her masculine nature in the realm of relationship, now we've talked about this in the past, girls, so don't get your knickers in a twist. I am not saying that women are not powerful. We are. We're super powerful. And you have to employ your masculine nature in business, in any situation in the outside world where you have to be in control. That's a given. Set that aside. Intimate relationship requires right polarity. Remember the battery thing? Opposite poles, etc. Okay, you have to be fully in your feminine. The only way you can be fully in your feminine is if the man is bringing full masculine. You're having a response to that, Cookie. And it's the first time, probably maybe ever, but in a really long time, which, pat yourself on the back right now. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Okay, I'm patting.
Okay, she's patting. Because that didn't happen by accident. Okay, you've been focused. You've been paying attention. You've been praying. You've been asking. correct me if I'm wrong here.
No, this is true.
Okay, you're not willy-nilly out there in the world. You're putting out a specific energy, so you are drawing to you the thing that you're asking for. And let me tell you, boys and girls, when your dreams start to come true, scary.
It is really scary.
Okay? Because you don't have a frame of reference for this one. The stakes are higher.
It is higher.
Yeah. And in all the other times, correct me if I'm wrong, you've had one foot out the back door. Typical Sagittarian. You've made sure that back door is open and you got one foot in those beautiful monobolonic pumps and you're ready to rock out the door if the guy isn't bringing what you need.
Now, okay, so let's go into the last relationship. Now, the last relationship I wasn't, and I actually was in my feminine.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah, I was.
But that's so funny that you would say it like that. So why was that such a, why are you so uncomfortable about that?
Well, because it's, I think I gave too much.
That's not feminine. That's not being in your feminine. You give too much. You give yourself away.
I was very nurturing. Yeah. Very much different than what it's been before. And you're okay. Right. I'm always... My foot is out that door so quick. I'm just ready to run. And I didn't. I stayed this time.
You stayed too long and you gave too much of yourself away. He was not bringing it. He was not providing and he was not protecting.
No.
You were not fully in your feminine. You were in the shadow form of the feminine, which is the hidden agenda.
Oh.
Which is the, I'm going to, here's the great word, kids. It's I'm going to be a caretaker. Take. I'm caring because I want something. That's first stage, by the way. We haven't talked about the three stages of relationship, and we will get to that in a future show as well.
Okay.
First stage, in a nutshell, is dependence, and it's what's in it for me. And that's when we are giving our energies because we want something in return. We're not just giving because it feels true to us. Does that make sense? It's the difference between loving with an agenda and being in a sense of love just because you want to give that gift to the world. That's what you're feeling with this current guy. That's exactly what you're feeling with this current guy. It just felt really good to be in your feminine and just to open your heart, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I was very gaga.
Very gaga. That's good. That's fun. That's good stuff.
Yes.
And in that previous relationship, I really want you to grab onto the fact that, yes, you were more feminine than you've been in the past. You probably put the sword down, but I guarantee you had the body armor on. And... the bottom line is if you give because you want to make that person give you something, you're going to attract the wrong person because then you're in that process of always having to make them give to you. They're not giving freely.
Yeah. Yes.
You're not giving freely. They're not giving freely. Law of attraction right there.
Oh, that law of attraction.
Don't you just hate that crap? Don't you just wish, you know what? By golly, I'm going to make a decision right now. I'm making a conscious choice to not operate with the law of gravity. Okay.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, that's pretty much about as logical as saying I am not going to be participating in the law of attraction anymore. Thank you. That's the only way we manifest. Okay. So
enough with the ex.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the new cookie.
Yeah, the new cookie.
We've got about 3 minutes.
I told you that. Oh my gosh, she's even giving me the timeline. Isn't this cute? As I told you earlier, yes, I did flip cards for her earlier. Oh, for crying out loud. Chill out, woman.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Give him his masculine. Do not castrate this man, even energetically.
Okay.
Let him court you. Let him court you. You've given him your kerchief. He's ridden off to war. Right now, he's out on the battlefield slaying a dragon. Trust me, the man is slaying a dragon right now.
Really?
Yes, he's doing something really cool today. He's involved in some meeting or something. We talked about that. And he's actually a little frustrated right now, but he's handling it in a pretty darn masculine way from what I can see. He's got your kerchief. He's going to ride back to the lists. You're standing there patiently trusting. Who are you trusting, Barb? You're trusting God. You're trusting the ultimate masculine to bring you the ultimate warrior. That's how it works.
Okay.
Give this some time.
Bottom line,
if you don't hear from this guy in the next 3 days,
yes.
Well, then he's not your knight in shining armor. Because your knight in shining armor is going to provide for you. And believe me, any hero out there knows the woman would really like to be courted. Hello,
yes.
It's instinctual. So give it a break, kiddo, and give it some trust. Do a little prayer work. Here's a prayer for you.
Okay.
Lord, please heal my disbelief.
Yeah.
Lord, please heal my disbelief. I'm not kidding you. That's so powerful. And then buckle up and get ready, kid. I can't wait to talk to you next week about
this. Okay. That sounds good.
Okay. Wow, everybody. This was a ton of fun. Again, Yvonne, sweetheart, love to you. Tons of angels. Hang in there and call me and let me know how it goes. Hope everybody has a phenomenal week. Would love to see you on my Facebook fan page and getting involved in those discussions. And I will get those prayers posted today. Next week, we're going to be talking more about the same stuff, patterns, habits, belief systems, and we're going to talk about the parts of the psyche. Really interesting stuff. So come back next Monday at noon. This is Michelle Morgan. This is Living on a Prayer. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.